This program is made possible by the giving of the God-called partners of Renner Ministries. Get ready for a teaching that feeds your spirit and your mind, where the Word is the anchor in uncertain times, and doctrine doesn't bend to culture. We keep it simple, but dive deep, revealing a truth that strengthens us, a love that emboldens, and a mission that touches the world. Let's join Rick Renner.
Welcome to today's program. My name is Rick Renner, and I am raring and ready to dive into today's episode. We're going to see today a blaring sign that we are close to the end of the age. Buckle your seatbelts, get your Bible, get some paper and a pencil or pen, get ready to take notes, because today is going to be very important for you to understand a blaring sign that we've come close to the end of the age. And I'm teaching a new series, a 10-part series called How Close Are We to the End? It comes with a study guide, and everything in the series is in the study guide so that you can read the material while you're seeing or hearing the series. And I'm really excited about my book called Signs You'll See Just Before Jesus Comes. In this book, I document all the signs that Jesus gave us to alert us to the fact that we've come to the very end of the age. And right now, as our gift to you, we want to give you a beautifully designed prophetic timeline to let you know where we are prophetically. It shows where we've been in the past, where we are presently, and what still needs to be fulfilled between now and the coming of Jesus and the rapture of the church. And it is our gift to you every day that I'm teaching this series. So please, you can get yours by going online or by giving us a call. And by the way, by going online or calling us, you can find out about all of these wonderful resources. And when you reach out to us, please let us know how to pray for you. We are very sincere about praying for those that reach out to us. Our team is well-trained. We know how to pray scripturally, biblically. And when we pray, we're going to pray according to the Word of God. In 1 John 5, 14 and 15 says, if we ask anything according to His will, that's according to His Word, He will hear us, and we will have the petitions that we ask of Him. So we're going to pray scripturally, and Jesus is going to do what needs to be done in your life. Say amen. But please reach out to us. But reach for your Bible, reach for a piece of paper and something to write with. And today we're going to see what is the blaring sign that we've come to the very end of the age. And I want us to review very quickly Matthew chapter 24, verse 3, which we covered yesterday, but it is so foundational to this series, I very quickly want to review it one more time. So when you come to Matthew chapter 24, Jesus and His disciples are sitting on the Mount of Olives. Well, if you've ever been to Jerusalem, you know that when you sit on the Mount of Olives and you look across the Kidron Valley, there is the Temple Mount. It is such a beautiful and prophetic sight. Jesus has been with multitudes and multitudes, but now the disciples have separated and they're just with Jesus, just them and Jesus. And the Bible tells us in Matthew 24, verse 3, and as He sat upon the Mount of Olives, His disciples came unto Him privately, saying, and I just love that they came to Him privately, because when you get alone with the Lord, you can ask Him things that you can't ask in front of others. And when Jesus speaks to you, He's going to tell you privately things that He will not tell to the masses. That's why you need to start every day with the Lord. Get alone privately with Him, speak to Him, and Jesus will speak to you. But they came to Him privately saying, now here's the question, tell us, when shall these things be? Now just imagine, they're sitting on the Mount of Olives, the Temple Mount behind them in the background. What a prophetic setting. And they wanted to know, Lord, when shall these things be? And this was very indicative of questions that were being asked very widely in the first century at this particular time, especially between the Old and the New Testament, the intertestamental period. There was a real fixation on eschatology and end time events. People were very preoccupied with the signs of the age. Are we at the end of the age? What's going to happen next? This was really an obsession with God's people. And it is again today. You know why? because we're coming close to the rapture of the church. Just like there was a fixation on end time events before the first coming, now there's a revival about end time events as we approach the rapture of the church and the second coming. This is very indicative of what was happening before Jesus' first coming. But now, as the spirit of the age at that time was asking prophetic questions, the disciples said, "Lord, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the age?" And as we saw yesterday, there are several key words in this verse, and very briefly, I want to cover them again, because if you missed it yesterday, you need to understand these words. So I'm going to go to the board, and the first question they asked was, "Lord, when?" And this word "when" is very important. It is the Greek word "pote." In English, it's spelled like this. And the word "pote" is very specific. It's not asking for a fuzzy answer. It's saying, "Lord, exactly when?" Now remember, they're alone with the Lord. No one else is listening. So now they get real specific. "Lord, when? Exactly when shall these things be?" And then secondly, they said, "What shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the age?" And the word "what" is also very important. In Greek, it is the little word "t." It's spelled like this in English. It describes the most minute, minuscule detail, which means it was the equivalent of saying, "Lord, we don't want a general answer. We want to know specifically. Give us the most minute, minuscule detail. What shall be the sign?" And the word "sign" in Greek is the word "semeion." And this word "semeion" is very important. In English, it's spelled like this, "semeion." This word "semeion" described signs you would see along the road. And yesterday I gave the example that Denise and I and our offices in Russia are just outside the city of Moscow. We are 7.5 miles from the city limits of Moscow. Out here where our studios are, there's pasture, there's trees, it's beautiful. But as we journey into the city, the signs along the road begin to change. That's the word "semeion." If we just look at what we see along the road, we know that we're headed somewhere different by the signs that we see. For example, we leave these pastures and these beautiful trees, and we begin to see industry. Then we begin to see tall apartment buildings. And then we see a whole lot of apartment buildings. And then the industry becomes more intense and congested. It's a sign that we've left where we were and we're really headed to somewhere different. And finally, when you come to MCOD, which is the big, big highway that circles the city of Moscow, there is a big sign that says Moscow, and that is the sign that you're no longer traveling toward Moscow, but now you've entered Moscow. That's the word that is used here, signs along the way. But this word "semeion" was also used to describe literal road signs. So road signs, markers, that would tell you where you are, how many miles, how many kilometers you have to go, and every few kilometers or miles it changes. There's a different number and a different number. And because of the signs, you know where you are, and you're able to determine how much further you have to go to reach your destination. Well, by using this word "sign," the Greek word "semeion," the disciples were literally asking, "Lord, what are the prophetic signs we will see along the prophetic road to the end of the age? How will we know that we're getting closer? What are the signs that we're going to see?" And they asked really just for one sign. What is the sign? But you're going to see that Jesus gave them a whole list of more than 20 signs. That's what happens when you get along with the Lord. You ask Him one question, which He will answer, but then because your ears are open, He'll tell you other things as well. But they particularly said, "What is the sign of thy coming?" And the word "coming" is the Greek word "parousia." It's spelled like this in Greek. Parousia. In English, if you're taking notes, you spell it like this. It means to be present, to be present. But this word is used theologically, parousia, to describe both the rapture of the church and the second advent, which is 7 years later at the end of the tribulation. Now, some people argue that this word parousia only describes the second advent at the end of the 7 years tribulation, but that's not true. If you do a survey of the whole New Testament, you find this word is used to describe both events And which event it is describing depends on the context of the verses. But importantly, this word parousia, I'm going to read to you from my notes. Listen to this. It is a technical expression for the royal visit of a king or an emperor, or for the arrival of one who alone has the authority and power to deal with the situation and to put things in order and to make everything right. And my friends, when Jesus comes for the rapture of the church, that's the moment everything is going to begin to be put in order as the 7-year tribulation begins and God's wrath is poured out upon the earth and God deals with his enemies. And at the end of that period, Jesus is going to return with us. The parousia in the second event, we're going to put our feet on the ground with Jesus and it will begin the millennial reign. But they were saying, Lord, when, pote, when exactly are these things going to happen? What, T, Lord, please tell us factually down to the smallest detail, what will be the sign, the major road sign we'll see along the prophetic road to alert us that we're very near to your parousia, to your coming when you're going to come. And then it says, and the end of the age. The word end is very important. Now, the word end is actually the Greek word soon, teleos. Soon teleos, if you're taking notes in English, it's spelled like this. It doesn't describe the total end, but it's the wrap up. It's the wrap up. And in fact, you could translate it, how will we know we've come to the consummation, to the closure, or to the wrap-up of the age? And the King James Version actually says of the world. So let's look at that. The word world, that's the King James translation, in Greek is the word aionos, spelled like this in English. It's not the word for the world. The word world is geis. Doesn't even look the same. This is actually the word age. And that's what they were asking. That's what people were really fixated on. How will we know when we've come to the end of the age? That was the question, and that would be a better translation. So let's look at it. Lord, when? Pote, exactly when will these things be? Lord, what? The little word T, factually, down to the most minute, minuscule detail, tell us exactly what will be the sign, the Greek word Simeon, the prophetic marker we'll see to let us know we're right up next to the parousia, your coming, when you're going to begin the process of setting things in order at the end, at the very closure, the consummation, the King James Version says, of the world, the Greek says, aionos, of this particular age. Now that is what they were asking. And guess what? That's still what people are asking today. And as he sat up on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately saying, tell us, when shall these things be? What shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? But to help you see very clearly where we are now and where we are headed, I'm going to go back to the board. Now, I'm not an artist, so please forgive me if this is not very artistic, but graphically, I believe it's important for you to see this. So let's go. So we're going to begin with a timeline, and we're going to put a straight line all the way across. Now, I told you I'm not an artist, but we're going to begin with the cross and the resurrection, which was in the year 33. Then a few days later was Pentecost. Pentecost. And you know, Pentecost happened in 33 AD at 9 a.m. That's what the Bible tells us in Acts chapter 2. Peter says, these men are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. Well, that was 9 a.m. Now, this is really important because in Joel 2, verse 28, the Bible prophesied that in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. That happened on Pentecost. And it happened in the morning, and Peter stood up to make his announcement about it at 9 a.m. So we can be very, very exact about when the outpouring of the Spirit took place because Peter told us. It was sometime before 9 a.m. on Pentecost in the year 33. And that began the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, which has lasted now all these 2,000 years. And this period is officially called the last days. That's what Peter said on the day of Pentecost. God says, I will pour out my Spirit in the last days. That event at 9 a.m. Pentecost, the year 33, triggered the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and it continues all the way to the end of the last days. Some people call this the church age, and that's very appropriate because this is the church age. Some people call this the age of grace, and that also is true because this indeed is the age of grace. And when we reach this point, wow, the world's going to really find out the age of grace ended. But for these 2,000 years, we've been living in what the Bible calls the last days. Other people have theologically called it the church age or the age of grace. All of that is true, but the biblical term is the last days, and it has been a 2,000-year episode. Now, we're living at the very end of this age. And the Greek word to describe this period is the Greek word eschatos. It's where you get the word for eschatology. It describes the very, very, very ultimate end of a thing, the end of days. It actually was a navigational term used to describe the very last port. So if you sail to this port, there's not another one after that. And this is the word which Paul uses and the Holy Spirit uses all over the New Testament epistles to describe the very, very end of these 2,000 years. And this is where we are now, eschatos. We've sailed to the very, very end. And Jesus said, when you come to the very, very end, there are going to be birth pains that are going to be felt throughout the population of the earth. And just like a woman who's gone into labor, when you have your first birth pain, maybe you're not even sure you had one. When Denise was pregnant, she would say, Ricky, I think I felt something. But it wasn't too long until she wasn't guessing anymore. She knew she was having birth pains, and they begin to come faster. They begin to come harder and harder and harder and harder. And the faster and harder they were was the indication that we're coming to the birth of our first son, and that was Paul. Well, as we come to the end of the age is going to end with birth pains. And by the way, if you study Scripture, every age ends with pain to give birth to the next age. That's the way that it always happens. It's all over Scripture. Well, as we come to the end of the age, there's going to be a few birth pains, tragic events, worldwide happenings. But the closer we get to the end, they're going to come faster and 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 faster. And the truth is now, we're living at a time when we are experiencing such tumultuous events, one on top of the next. 50 years ago, if one of those events happened, it was big news. But now it's just another event because they're happening so fast and so hard, one on top of the next. And the world is nearly numb to it because they're just living in the middle of it all the time. Jesus said, when you come to this period, these birth pains, eschatos, at the very, very end of the age, it is the sign that you've come to the very end of this age. Now, that's what the apostles were asking about. Lord, how will we know when we've come to the end of this particular age? And Jesus answers that question in Matthew 24, verse 8, where he talks about birth pains at the end of the age. At this particular moment, at the very closure of this age, Jesus is going to come for the church, and the church is going to be raptured into heaven. This is the rapture of the church. And we, my friends, are going to be in heaven for a 7-year period. 7 years. Wow, it's going to be glorious. And during that 7 years, there's going to be the marriage feast of the Lamb, and there's going to be the Bema seat of Christ, otherwise called the judgment seat of Christ. It's going to be the marriage feast when finally Christ and the church are wed. We're going to have a wonderful marriage feast of the Lamb, and one by one during these 7 years, we're going to be summoned from our spots at the table to stand before Jesus, and Jesus is going to evaluate our works which we did on the earth during this period to determine what we're going to be doing in eternity. Eternity is going to be very active. It's not just going to be sitting around on clouds. And everything we're doing now is pre-qualification for the future. But while we are in heaven, wrath is going to be poured out upon the earth in the great tribulation. we will not be here for that event. Say amen. But at the end of those 7 years, we are told that Jesus will finally come. In the first event, he came in the air, never put his foot on the ground. But in the second event, Jesus is going to come with 10,000 of his saints. That's me, that's you, and all of us that have been in heaven. And Jesus is going to put his foot on the earth. It's going to be the end of the tribulation, the ultimate put down of evil at that moment. And it's going to begin the millennial reign of Christ. And I want to remind you that right now we have a free brochure we've designed for you. It is an end time timeline to show you where we have been, where we are, what's still being fulfilled, and what's going to happen in the near future. I really want you to have it. My friends, we designed it for you. Just call us or go online to get your copy. But then we come to the most blaring sign. The disciples asked for a sign. Jesus gave them more than 20. That's what happens when you get along with the Lord. You ask him one question, which he will answer, and he'll tell you a lot of other things as well. So they asked him privately, Lord, what is the sign of the end of the age and of your coming? And Jesus said, number one, foremost, here's number one. And we find it in Matthew 24, verse 4, where the Bible says, and Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. And Jesus gave worldwide deception as the most blaring sign that we have come to the very end of the age. And I mean this period right here. We have sailed eschatos all the way to the end. There's nowhere else to go. And Jesus said, you'll know you've come right here when deception begins to permeate society. And Jesus said, take heed. And my friends, this is so important that this is where we're going to pick up in tomorrow's program. I'll be back in just a moment, and I'm going to pray for you.
How close are we to the end? It's a question people have been asking for 2,000 years. But as Christians, we have access to the answer. In his new series, How Close Are We to the End?, Rick Renner dives into Jesus' prophetic teachings of the end times to break down the signs that we need to be looking out for. In this 10-part series, you will learn where the current days fit on the end times timeline, how to expose end times deception, what events are signs of the end, and more. Available in digital or physical formats starting at just $20, this series will help you understand the signs around you and equip you to determine for yourself where we stand today. In addition to this teaching series, you can order Rick's book, Signs You'll See Just Before Jesus Comes, for just $17 to support your deeper study of the end times. As our free gift to you, we also want to offer you your own printed copy of the End Times Timeline. Don't miss this special offer. How Close Are We to the End? Signs You'll See Just Before Jesus Comes, and the free printout of the End Times Timeline. Call the number on your screen now or go to Renner.org to order. Call or go online now.
Well, today we have covered a lot of material. Now, when you join me tomorrow, be sure to have your Bible, because we're going to take a deep dive into Matthew 24 to see what Jesus had to say about deception worldwide at the very end of the age. It is going to be riveting, eye-opening, and you're going to say, ay, ay, ay. We are really there. But I'm so excited about this new series, which is called How Close Are We to the End? And I'm so excited about my book called Signs You'll See Just Before Jesus Comes. This book really lays it out for you so you can see where we are, what else is going to happen just before Jesus returns for the church. But you can find out about all these resources by going online or by giving us a call. And please, when you reach out to us, let us know how to pray for you, because we're praying for you anyway, and we really want to pray for you. Just call that number. And by the way, write it down and save that number. So if you ever feel like you're in a fix and you need somebody to pray with you, you've got a number to call. Call us. We want to pray with you, and we'll believe God with you. Or you can send us an email. But Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus right now that you've anointed us, that you have chosen us for the end of the age. And you're not in the business of scaring us, but you really are in the business of preparing us. And Lord, help us to understand your word so we'll know where we are, how much more time we have, and we'll be prepared. In Jesus' name, amen. I'll see you tomorrow. But until then, please remember, oh, it's so powerful. Ecclesiastes 8:4, it says, where the word of a king is, there is power. Hey friends, my wife and I are coming to the United States to hold some wonderful meetings, and I want to tell you about them, but please be sure to go to our website to affirm all these times and dates, because sometimes things change. But we are coming to Florida on Sunday, Monday, January 11th and 12th to Naples. We're going to be at the Faith Church with pastors Andre and Jenny Robert. On Friday, January 16th, we're coming to Brandenden, Florida to the Happy Gospel Church to a Friends in Ministry with Roberts Lairdon meeting. Then on Sunday, January the 18th, we're coming to Newark, Texas to Eagle Mountain International Church to be with Pastors George and Terry Pearsons and the whole church. On January 25th, we're coming to Green Mountain Falls, Colorado to Legacy Church to be with Pastors Jeremy and Sarah Pearsons. On Friday, Saturday, Sunday, January 30th, 31st, and February 1st, we're coming to Mesa, Arizona to Vita Church to be with Pastors Ben and Kara Diaz. On Sunday, February the 8th, we're coming to Southfield, Michigan to be at Word of Faith with Bishop Keith and Pastor Deborah Butler. On Sunday, February 15th, we're coming to Tulsa, Oklahoma to be at Millennial Church with Pastors Paul and Karen Brady. And on Saturday and Sunday, February 21st and 22nd, we're coming to Midland, North Carolina to Encounter Church to be with Bishop Allen and Tara DiDio. And friend, I want to invite you to come to one of these meetings. We're waiting to see you there.
If you've never received Jesus as your Savior and Lord, now is the time for you to experience a new life Jesus has to give you. Pray this prayer with me right now. Lord, I repent of my sin and receive you as my Savior and Lord. Wash away my sin and make me completely new. I thank you that my sin is removed and Satan no longer has any right to lay claim on me. I faithfully promise that I will serve you as my Lord for the rest of my life. Amen.
If you just prayed the prayer of salvation with us, would you please let us know by going to renner.org/salvation? We would love to connect with you. Renner Ministries is proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ through every available media avenue to the uttermost parts of the earth. Discover the many ways you can help us make a difference in lives around the world with the Word of God. We invite you to partner with us in teaching, strengthening, and rescuing lives for the glory of God. Together, we can make a difference that will last throughout eternity.
This program was made possible by the giving of the God-called partners of Renner Ministries.